What would you do if the President of the United States asked you for prayer? Is Snapchat catering to pedophiles? Stay with us as we look at this and other stories on the 5-11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to 5-11 News. I am so excited about today's episode because it really does cover two topics that I am extremely passionate about, but for different reasons with my walk with Christ specifically. The first issue that we wanted to talk about here on 5-11 News has to do with the recent controversy concerning McLean Bible Church in Virginia and David Platt praying over President Donald Trump at his recent Sunday church service. Now, this subject is passionate. I'm passionate about specifically because I came to Christ on January 19th, 2009. Why that is significant here is because of the person who was just being placed into office at that time. That was President Barack Obama. And now my background, you can check out the Good Fight radio show. We actually have my testimony on it. But my background comes from a very agnostic, conservative point of view. And so I was very extremely Republican when it came to my viewpoints in politics before I was saved. I cared more about politics than just about any topic outside of wrestling and alcohol and girls. But one of the things that happened is I just formed a giant hatred for Barack Obama during a lot of those elections at that time, because I'm studying and I'm saying, wow, this guy is pro baby murder. And at the time I was anti-abortion, even though I was agnostic and had no objective truth to hold on to and standard by which I was living by, supposedly. But I looked at those things. I saw maybe, you know, our defense systems being eradicated through some of the liberal policies he might put forth. I saw that even though he claimed to be against gay marriage, a lot of people don't know that. He sat there at Rick Warren's church and said that he believed that marriage between a man and is between a man and a woman because he was trying to get the Christian vote. And because of that, I still said, I don't believe this guy. I think this guy's a phony. Now, I was right on a lot of those things. But what happened is, in my background, having no faith in Jesus, having the Holy Spirit living inside of me, what happened was just hatred. I had no answers to the questions that I had. I just had out and out hatred. I just didn't like him. I wanted McCain, who I didn't like as much either, but I liked him more than Obama at the time. And I was so angry. In fact, even as an agnostic, as a non-believer, I remember this was MySpace at the time. I remember being on MySpace and a girl that I knew since probably right after elementary school. So since I was, I don't know, 13 years old. A girl that I knew who had gone up, grown up, going through different youth groups and being attached to them, she actually posted praise on the night that Obama was elected. And me, as an agnostic, I did not believe in God. It was probably at the time in my life when I was most adamantly against Jesus. I remember writing her this long message in a drunken stupor about how disgusting she was, saying she's a Christian and voting for Barack Obama. Now, the reason why this topic is passionate concerning all of that is because I then recognized something far different when I came to know the Lord. As I said, I came to the Lord on January 19th. In fact, on that very same time that I was going, I believe the same week, the inauguration happened, and I was actually at Jay Leno when it happened. I remember that week, a couple of my friends and I, we went and watched a late night show with Jay Leno and that it was going to be recorded. And the reason why I remembered that it was on the week of the inauguration is because the first church service I ever went to was the Pastor Joe Schimmel exposing the ridiculous prayer that quote unquote America's pastor, Rick Warren, prayed when he prayed to Isa in front of all of the country. And I remember because I went to the first church service at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley on the 26th of January in 2009. And I remember studying that and being like, wow, this is crazy. But I also remember what happened is from an agnostic, from a non-believer to a believer, my heart completely changed how I viewed politics, how I viewed religion, obviously, but how I viewed Barack Obama as my president. I immediately had a change of heart because I realized, okay, yes, I can recognize the wickedness. I could point out the wickedness even. John the Baptist did that and it got his head cut off, right? He can point out wickedness. I can point out the wicked things that he does, the pro-baby murder legislation that he would put into place, the whiffling and waffling on gay marriage, because we knew it was coming for anyone who was paying attention, that after he got those votes, he could then be completely pro-gay and get those votes now. We saw all those things, and I could point those out, but I could also switch my entire anger to love and loving this man and praying for this man. And I remember a couple years later dealing with, you know, talking with young kids and getting involved in teaching the youth, I actually gave a teaching quoting an early church prayer that took place during the Roman Empire when they were murdering Christians. And these Christians wrote out this prayer telling the churches to pray specifically for the emperor's family and for the emperor to have good health. And all these things. And I was like, wow, why did the early church see this? And we should view this as well. I remember Joe talking from the pulpit when he would expose this wickedness saying, yeah, but we pray for this guy. Anytime I get really frustrated, I pray for him, you know, and that should be our reaction. I remember sitting here in a prayer meeting at our home church right before a Wednesday night service. And one specific guy for a half hour specifically praying over and over again for Barack Obama's salvation, for Michelle Obama's salvation, for her kid's salvation. And it just took my mind to a new place, to a new understanding of love, that even though we can recognize and point out wickedness, it doesn't mean that I have to absolutely despise and hate this person. Doesn't mean I call him a fool. You know, running the Facebook page for Good Fight Ministries, we get to see that a lot. And I always point out Matthew 5:22. You want to call someone a fool, just know you're in danger of hellfire. Okay? We don't call people fools. That's not what God calls us to do. So, all these things happening, I then looked at the same exact thing with Donald Trump. I had a real problem with him, especially during the primaries. When we had other options, I was really upset that the conservative vote that said, hey, I want to be pro-life, we had other options that we could have went with and said, hey, I'll vote for this guy or this guy. And I just saw the evangelical church saying, we're going to vote this guy in, even with all the nasty grabbing stuff that came out, everything that came out. It did not matter what he did. It seemed like he had some sort of cloak over him. And at the time, I was honestly upset. I'm like, guys, what are we doing here? Like, this guy is so robust in the way he some of his language and the stuff that he says. I was like, how are we sitting here? And I would listen to arguments. I just didn't agree with them, in all honesty. And I personally did not vote for Donald Trump. Now, this has put the ministry at Good Fight Ministries in a predicament because Joe Schimmel has said the exact same thing as I just did. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. But I am very glad that he won over Hillary, because I did recognize that even though we could show you clip after clip of Donald Trump before he ran as a Republican saying very pro-choice things to the point of we're talking about partial birth abortion and being completely pro-abortion. And we can point that out and say, wow, this is pretty wicked. But we can also point out, check this out, over the course of this time, as he's been in office, we recognize there's been a lot of pro-life movement. I mean, real pro-life, not the ones that say, well, this, you know, 12 weeks, we'll try to put it. We're talking about real pro-life movement to the point where the earliest gestation, when people are, I mean, with heartbeat bills and things that are going forth that we're like, wow, we're seeing some movement we've never seen before. And we recognize that's going on. Now, I will say the day before this prayer we're going to talk about, I believe it was the day before. I know it was at least either the day before or the day before that. It was either June 1st or June 2nd. He came out in support of the LGBTQ month and supporting how great it was and celebrating the LGBTQ month and celebrating sexual perversion as a holiday. So we can point out the wickedness and also say, I have no problem praying for that guy. But what's sad is when a pastor prayed and did exactly what we're called to in Scripture, praying for our leaders, the backlash on social media is, I'm sorry, pathetic. It's fine if it's from non-believers not liking it. I'm cool with that. I don't care what the non-believers say. Let pagans be pagans. But when we're talking about believers coming out against someone who's praying for a leader in obedience with Scripture, I have a problem with that, and I find it to be pathetic. Now, I will say this. I've heard some reservations. You could have done that in private. And I said, hey, I understand those arguments. That's fine. But literally saying, why should we pray for him? He's a fool. He's this. The more sinful things that you call him out for, all you're doing is saying he needs more prayer. That's all it's telling me. And so I wanted to quote Pastor David Platt of McLean Bible Church there in Virginia. And what he said happened after in the aftermath. He actually had to write kind of almost, I don't want to say a retraction, but it kind of sounded like a retraction of what he said. And I would say that the prayer that he said over Donald Trump was absolutely scriptural. I will also point out before I read from him that I don't give David Platt much an endorsement here. I'm not saying he's the greatest pastor. He definitely 100% has some doctrines that I would strongly disagree with. He does seem to be trying to teeter on that social justice warrior / woke, pastor crowd that he wants to be a part of. It seems that way with some of the stuff that he's come out and said. And so I can't say I'm in his camp in a lot of those ways. But I would say the prayer that he said over Donald Trump, praying for wisdom, that God would give him wisdom over the country, praying for salvation that only comes through Jesus, those things I can agree with. And with that, I will quote Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, concerning who preaches the gospel. And this is, and I believe what I'm quoting is of the extreme nature, where David Platt would not be of the extreme nature in terms of my disagreement. And here's what Philippians 1, 15 through 18 says. It says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. So that prayer that was said, I believe, was a biblical prayer, and I believe there was a gospel message contained within his prayer. And I will do the same as Paul did. Regardless of my disagreements with David Platt and some of the things that he holds to doctrinally, I will proclaim Jesus Christ and rejoice that Hebrews proclaimed in that prayer. But David Platt does seem to be playing the fence here a little bit, okay? He wants to pray for Donald Trump and do things biblically, but he also wants to cater to those who would be against it, okay? And instead of saying, I can see where we have a disagreements and being honest, it does seem, I don't want to judge his hearts and his motives, but it does seem a little bit of a teeter-tottering on the fence here. And here's what he said. Quote, at the end of my sermon, at the one worship gathering, I stepped to the side for what I thought would be a couple of moments in quiet reflection as we prepared to take the Lord's Supper. But I was immediately called back on stage and told that the President of the United States was on his way to the church. He would be there in a matter of minutes and would like us to pray for him. Now, with that, when I first talked about this, at least on our online community, people said, hey, he should have done this in private, you know, whatever. I said, hey, maybe I could see that. But he literally asked to be prayed for. He asked to come and be prayed for. I'm going to tell you, I have absolutely no problem with Donald Trump coming and being prayed for. He literally asked for it. This is not like David Platt being, please, let me come here on stage and make a spectacle of this. This is him coming out and saying, hey, I'd love for you to pray for me. I don't care who it is, okay? And I really don't. If they asked me for prayer, I would pray for them. I would lay my hands and pray for them, and especially pray for their salvation. But what do the critics say? Of course, Slate is just a beacon of truth. but Slate put out a little article, and they were just as wishy-washy as Platt, to be all honesty. But with Platt, it seems to be they were more in agreement with Platt than not. But it says this, quote, as critics pointed out, Platt may not have praised Trump this weekend, but he did invite him on stage. Quote, The prayer was very non-partisan and very inclusive. But at the same time, there's an image of this pastor with a positive expression on his face, laying a hand on Donald Trump and the other hand holding up a Bible, and Trump has his head bowed. Dan Nedgefelt, I believe, who works for a national network of progressive faith leaders, oh, that's fantastic, told me that image conveys Trump is a Christian and a normal leader that Christians can get behind. Now, I would say, that's end quote there, but I would say that I don't believe that's necessarily what's going on in that prayer, because he was calling him to repentance, I believe, in that within that prayer. And Platt said, quote, "I know that some within our church, for a variety of valid reasons, are hurt that I made the decision. This weighs heavy on my heart. I love every member of this church, and I only want to lead us with God's word in a way that transcends political party and position, heals the hurts of racial division and injustice, and honors every man and woman made in the image of God." So Platt wanted to make sure that he could canvass the whole area, okay? And the progressive leaders are not happy because Platt had a Bible in his hand and his hand on Trump praying for him. I just cannot see, and I cannot be a part of the group that says this cannot be done, okay? I totally understand reservations, but I also totally understand somebody having this thrown on them while they're in a Sunday service saying the President of the United States is coming right now and he wants you to pray for him. I would ask you, what would you do? Honestly, what would you do? How would you react if this was happening to you? And if you said, I would shun so that I wouldn't hurt my church, I would have a problem with that. I got to be honest with you. If you have that, the inability to forgive, and I got to be honest with you, when it comes to this subject, I like I said, I am not a fan of Donald Trump. I did not vote for Donald Trump. But one of the things that has always bothered me was some of the hypocrisy when it comes to his presidency versus the last. Obviously, there's some hypocrisy for those who say, pray for him, love him, he's from God, God put him there. And they probably weren't saying that, many of them, for the last president, okay? There's plenty of those. But there's also plenty of those who were saying it for the last president. Hey, Romans 13, okay? God is the one that ultimately put them in that position. So guess what? We need to pray for him. There was plenty of guys in the church that said that, okay? But there are so many of those in such hypocrisy that they wanted to be a bastion for Obama and say, hey, you know, he's a great guy. And look at the sports teams. Look at the basketball teams that have a lot of professing Christians that showed up to the White House to embrace Obama because, hey, first black president. And that's awesome that we got to have a black president in the United States. That's great. I just wish it was maybe like an Alan Keyes or something. But nonetheless, that's awesome that we did have a black president. I just wish it was a good president. In all honesty, I wish it was a biblical president that cared about the lives of children in the womb. And I look at that and I see you at the White House giving jerseys, but then you, as a believer, don't draw the line when it comes to baby murder. You draw the line at immigration. And for me, that's the height of hypocrisy, that you're okay with babies being murdered in the womb, that you can celebrate and laugh and joke with a president. Okay. But, you know, here he has different views on illegal immigration. So now I'm going to sit out. Now I'm always going to speak out against it. In all honesty, as a Christian, I think you're a hypocrite. Because if you wanted to stand out against both of them and say, hey, I got to be honest, this guy's for baby murder. This guy is allowing injustices that I disagree with. I would totally, hey, that's cool, bro. I'm all alongside with you. If you want to, you have a protest about that, I can stand next to you. But when you care about one and not the other, and I got to be honest, let's care about the things that matter. Let's care about life and death, okay? These are big issues, and I think they're a big problem. And so I'd ask you to consider that biblically. Another story that has been in the news that hasn't been covered too much has to do with Snapchat. And I would tell you that this specific subject is very important to me because I've been involved in youth ministry for the last 8 or 9 years. Okay. Since I came to Christ, I've been involved in some sort of youth ministry. Okay. And one of the biggest apps out there right now is Snapchat. Okay. And the problem is Snapchat, of course, has to cater to every single social justice nonsense, every homosexual this or whatever. Now, I have a lot of problem with the app and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But recently, Snapchat came out with a new filter, and I'll let This is from a woman online. She's somewhat of a Republican protagonist, but I found her video and another video of the Snapchat filter, and you're going to hear the audio here. I don't have the, you know, the video capabilities through the podcast, but you're going to hear the audio here of her talking about it, and then I'll explain a little bit of what it looked like before it was taken down. But here she is talking about the new filter on Snapchat.
Okay, so Snapchat has this filter. Love has no gender, sexuality, disability, religion, and age. Why is age an option? I heard pedophiles were trying to get into the LGBTQ community. But did it happen? What do you mean love has no age?
I think it's really interesting that Snapchat specifically would have this. Okay, and one of the things she said that they're trying to get into the LGBTQ community, the problem is they've been in there all along. Okay, the pedophiles have been in there. In fact, Harry Hay, who was one of the leading activists when it comes to the homosexual movement, okay, he literally started his charge after reading the Kinsey report, which if you guys have any time, please go to goodfight.org. Please check out the Kinsey syndrome and just see how much of a farce that report was and how much of a lie that was and how literally they're still using that research. I know people taking classes at the local college here that still they tout him as this bastion of truth when it comes to sexuality. And I'm telling you, that guy is a disgusting Aleister Crowley follower. But nonetheless, I don't have time to get into that in our short time. But Harry Hay read that report and it was that that pushed him towards his activism. And in 1986, at a gay pride march in Los Angeles, Harry Hay wore a cloak slash sign that literally said, "NAMBLA walks with me." And this is at the gay pride march. This is one of the leading activists, if not the leading activist at the time. "NAMBLA walks with me." What is NAMBLA? Oh, it's just the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Yes, that's right. It is an association built upon pedophilia, the entire thing. And we're talking about one of the leaders of the homosexual movement, one of the leaders of these gay pride marches, walking, "NAMBLA walks with me." Because of course they do. Of course the pedophiles walk with him. Because ultimately it's all sexual perversion. And of course they're part of it. But then you have Snapchat here pushing out these new filters. And if you guys would have seen the video or seen these, basically the filters, you take a picture of yourself and they, you know, sometimes they've had puppy dog filters and baby filters and different filters that go out and people take pictures of themselves. I mean, it's a real way to catfish someone, but nonetheless, you know, you have these different filters that they throw on, and this one comes with "love is," and they wanted to show love is this, love is that, love has no religion, love has no race, love has no gender. But then they had "love has no age." Now, they took it down. And I believe they took it down because the outpour of outrage, because they're like, wait a second, what do you mean love has no age? Are you pushing pedophilia? Problem is, Snapchat's been used for pedophilia for a long time. In fact, Fortune did an article on this on Fortune.com. And I'm going to quote from them. And it says that sextortion, in which an individual threatens to expose sexual images of another person, has become particularly problematic on social networks and messaging platforms. The Brookings Institute examined 78 cases of sextortion, which involved at least 1,397 victims, and found that 71% of the victims targeted were under the age of 18. Social media manipulation was used in 91% of the cases, the Brookings Institute said. End quote. And Snapchat was the leading group of apps that was used by these pedophiles because the images would erase so they could send their disgusting pictures to people, these pedophiles. And Fortune also reported in 2017 that the disappearing messages that are Snapchat's trademark make it easy for child pornographers to exploit their victims. 41% of underage victims were targeted through Snapchat in the year of 2016. But you know what? Even if 100% of the pedophiles were found by Snapchat and eradicated out of them, how beneficial do you really believe this app is? I got to be honest with you. You know, the Bible warns that in the last days, people will be lover of selfies. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. That was the Message translation. But nonetheless, no. It says they will be lovers of self, that they will be boastful, that they will be proud, that they will be arrogant. They'll be disobedient to parents. Why are you letting your kids have these apps where you send thousands of pictures to one another? I got to be honest. I have talked with people, talked with kids about this app and asked them, you're a girl, you know, you're a young girl. Why are you sending like 10 guys at 7 a.m. pictures of yourself and you have a streak going for the last 2.5 years? Why would you do that? And I said, I know that for me personally, as a husband, if I knew my wife sent some guy 5,000 selfies, I would have a problem with that. Even if it happened before we were married or before we were together, you had all these guys that you were sending pictures of yourself. Half of them, and sadly, it's not like you're trying to make yourself look ugly, okay? You're trying to entice. This app, I believe, is unbeneficial, okay? I really believe it is unbeneficial, especially for young women to be doing that and carrying on these relationships with men online that are allowing them into their bedroom. They're taking pictures on their bed and sending it to men. You guys don't think there's imaginations going on? You know, Proverbs 11:22 warns that like gold in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. And I know that should go for us and all the guys that are on there. You know, I knew high school guys when coaching wrestling over the years, they would brag about some of the pictures they got sent on Snapchat. And I would have conversations with them, you know, non-believers, I'm coaching wrestling, you know, non-believers, you know, and saying, why would you do that? Why would you collect that? That's someone else's wife, you know, if not today, you know, in the future, you know, and it's absolutely heartbreaking that you would do this. And that young girls are doing this, and that we're allowing this under our noses, that this is probably the most used app by kids right now. Instagram, which is full of just a bunch of selfies, girls in bathtubs and, you know, girls in their bikinis. And sadly, a lot of these girls are having to Photoshop things to make themselves look more voluptuous and things like that. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And then you have the guys that are watching it. I think this is a sad commentary. And I really believe that we as believers need to stand up against these sorts of things. And I want to encourage you, if you're on here, whether it's praying for Donald Trump, whether it's watching out for those you love and care about, I really want to encourage you guys to do things biblically, to care about what the Bible says. How shall a young man keep his way pure, but only according to your word, O Lord? And I want young people to keep their way pure. And I want believers to be able to stand up and say, I will pray for these ruthless individuals, regardless of who they are. I'm going to pray for them because we recognize the darkness of sin. Because sin is so dark, we recognize the penalty that needed to be paid for us to be saved. And that is, according to Acts 20:28, the blood of God himself, which purchased his own church. And so that is the Savior that we have. And that is the Savior because the power is in the gospel. The gospel is not a philosophy, it is a power, and is the power unto salvation. We thank you so much for joining us for the 511 News. This has been Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. Pray that you are active in sharing your faith so you have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. God bless.